I knew our friend Tensei's not going to be here for a month. You know, when I was planning on starting a series of some things, I thought, okay, I'll pick a sermon I finish in 1 week. And while, you know, then I got to looking over this sermon a little bit more again this morning, and I ain't going to finish this in 1 week. I'm not going to rush myself through. You know, this isn't like when you were in school. Maybe you boys have this happen sometimes too. But high school and college, your professor's got a whole book he's supposed to get through. And you get about halfway through during the semester, right? But you end up being tested on the whole thing at the end. Well, we're going to be tested on the whole thing. But anyway, I never finished it. And I don't think I have to be pressured and think I got to finish every time. I'm going to, as it goes, as we speak, and we end up different trails. If you miss something, you want to, we're on Facebook videos, but they're taking them down after 30 days now. So if you want, if there's an old video there that you really like, you got to download it, or else you got to watch it before 30 days. Our audios are on our church website all the way back to like 2007. And you may have to search around to find it. I should fix that because the newest ones are at the bottom the way I've got it set up, except for the very newest one, which is at the top. That's confusing, I know. But anyway, the audios are available as long as the Lord allows us, you know, for the foreseeable future. The videos are going to just be available for 30 days now. Some fella contacted me and said he was interested and wanted to collaborate and do some things, and he was going to maybe use our videos. I said, fine, they're going to be up for 30 days. You do what you're up to with them. I'm not going to try to download all these videos from however long we've been doing this on Facebook, 5 or 10 years, however long that is. You know, that would, who's going to watch them anyway? So people can listen if they're really interested. Okay, so I got this. And this is a subject that I think it's important. Before I get there, I reposted a quote from a preacher this week. Honestly, I can't even remember who it was. He was of similar faith and practice anyway. But he said the scriptures throughout emphasize not the size of the church, but its purity. Not the size. And I'm sure he had a much bigger congregation, but he said, it's not the size that's emphasized, it's the purity. And I've been more impressed of that of recent weeks and months. And I think we want to be pure. We're the Lord's church. We're His bride. We're to be pure and to keep ourselves pure. That ought to be our desire. And so I'm going to speak about some things that folks maybe not real comfortable in this day and age, but I think they're important. And I've preached on this a few times, but I went back and looked. I think the last time I ever preached on this was like 2006. I thought it was more recent. And before I get into that, another verse which the Lord's been pleased to teach us. And this particular topic the Lord had to teach me. I didn't always believe the things that I'm going to teach on today. The Lord taught it to me over time in conflict. Somebody preached it from the pulpit and got me a little bit mad. And then I started looking into it. That's kind of how the Lord brought me to the doctrines of grace. I was never a rank Arminian in the sense of a low Arminian, but I was kind of a high Arminian, or bordering on what they sometimes call 4 points or whatever that means. But I argued back and forth with this fellow to the point we got to where we couldn't talk anymore. But then I looked and studied more and more. I understood the importance and the doctrines and the teachings of sovereign grace. And this today was a similar thing. The Lord teaches us, and I pray He continues to teach us. One of my favorite passages of Scripture that I refer to oft times, or have at least, not as much as some, but when Jacob is coming back, you know, to his home, and he crosses over the river. In Genesis 32:10, he's going to go meet his brother Esau, and he's kind of scared. He thinks Esau is not going to be happy with him. He's probably going to kill him and the whole family that's with him. And he prays to the Lord in Genesis 32:10. He says, "I am not worthy. I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." I mean, do you feel that way? I'm not worthy of any of his mercies. And I'm certainly not worthy of the truths he's been pleased to teach me. And I'm grateful for them. And these truths I know that the Lord's been pleased to teach me and some of you over the years are not popular today. They're not prevalent today. You won't see and hear them everywhere. And I'm thankful the Lord was pleased to teach these things. I didn't come because of my great intellect. Well, you already knew that. I didn't have to tell you. It wasn't because of my great intellect. You know, I don't have one. But the Lord teaches us. And Jacob, he says, "I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies." All the blessings he pours upon us that we don't deserve. In fact, are contrary to what we deserve. And all the truth. I don't claim to have a corner on all truth. I don't claim to understand all things. But the Lord's been pleased to teach me some things, I believe. And I'm thankful for it. And really this is kind of an introduction not only to this week, but probably maybe to weeks to come. And not on just this topic. "And all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan." You know, Jacob's river says, "You know, when I was running away, I crossed the Jordan River and all I had was this stick. That's all I had." For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. He says, "And now I've become two bands." He's become two large companies. Two large families. And Jacob had a few wives before it was all said and done. And I'm not recommending we do that. In fact, you know, I don't think that's what God's plan was ever. And we see what happens. But God allowed certain things and permitted certain things. And Jacob says, "And now I've become two bands. I just crossed this Jordan with a stick. And now I've crossed back over again with two great companies of people and family. All by the grace of God." And so Jacob was thankful for the truth that the Lord was pleased to teach him. Okay, now I'll get to my topic today. Obviously, I was never going to finish this sermon. We're going to talk today about, and you think all of the preacher, I could ask you, what do you think I'm going to preach about after all that? Well, you'd probably be surprised. We're going to talk today about the woman's head covering. And I know someplace it splits churches, you know. I don't claim to be a dictator. I'm not going to stand at the back of the church and plop a head covering on a woman. You'll understand why as we look at this. It's supposed to be because of her heart and her understanding. And hopefully I can be used of the Lord to teach some people these things. And that they do it out of that. And even if you don't understand it all, that's not the point. It's a matter, the whole thing's a matter of submission to authority. And you say, "Well, you know, I don't understand it all, but I'll submit to that." But you seek to understand it. There's a lot of things like that in our life. It needs to be a proper authority, though. You know, not the renegade authorities like are in D.C. and other places or false churches, but the authority the Lord set up, authority. He set up husbands, wives, families, children. He set up his church And there's not like Rome has some hierarchy with men dressing in all fancy and purple dresses and fish heads on their head, like the Catholics do. But there's an order that God ordains. I don't like to use the word hierarchy because it's been so separated, but there is an order. There's roles that God establishes. And if we don't submit to them and recognize them, we harm ourselves. And we're going to talk about the woman's head covering. Like I say, in some places it's a great dispute. And I teach on it, I preach on it, but I'm not going to stand at the back of the church and plop a head covering on a woman, because that defeats the purpose. Let me say as well, and I mentioned this when we were doing our Mother's Day, and other, I continue to do that, I believe the role of women in the church is of paramount importance. It's not the same as the role of men. You know, we live in a day and age the women want to all be men. And I don't know, we live in such a day and age now that the men think they're women. And the women think they are men. And it's confusion. God established an order. God established roles. And the role of my own wife is, I believe, paramount to the spiritual health of this assembly. It's paramount to my spiritual health. And you say, well, you know, the scripture says a woman's not to be a preacher. She's not to preach. We'll talk on that a little bit too. It's not because she's less spiritual. My wife, you all probably already know this too, I don't have to tell you that, but my wife is a far better Christian, I think, than this guy behind the pulpit. That's not the point. She is still not qualified to pastor a church. She is still not qualified to preach. It's not a matter of worth or spirituality, or it's God-ordained order. And we should all respect that. And again, the role of my wife is paramount. And we're going to talk about some of these things. We're going to talk about maybe in the coming months, at least I plan, but we see today how my plans work out. But I'm planning on speaking of some things that have to do with the church and with its purity. Sometimes it's called separation amongst Christians. Things that have to do with holiness and have to do with proper dress and how we appear before the Lord and others. And I don't have a hard and fast rule book. My wife's the only one who knew what I was going to preach on today. She started asking me questions. I said, I don't have all the answers. You know, she would wonder about, well, should only married women cover? No, I think the scriptures, and we'll talk about that, submissive women are brought to that. It acknowledges their submission to their husband and to the roles that God's established in the church and to the leadership of the church. And so the covering acknowledges that. So they still have heads, and it's representative of that. I forget, she asked me another question today I didn't have. Oh! When should you put the covering on? Should it be before you come in the door? Or should it be, you know, before the service starts? Listen, I don't have all them rules. I think the Catholics would say it's before you come in the door because, you know, the sanctuary is holy. This isn't really a sanctuary. This is the meeting house of the Lord's church. It's just a building. But it becomes a sanctuary when the Lord's church meets here. It becomes an ecclesia. So I'd say, yeah, it's probably a good idea to have it on before the service starts. It's not a hard and fast rule. I'm not going to run back there and put it on your head. And people forget sometimes. I see my wife sometimes. She forgets till the service is half over. And then I see her going, you know, I know her heart. That's, the Lord knows her heart. And so, there's no magical, mystical things about it, you know, like the Rome has with the Lord's Supper and baptism, magic water that turns one into a child of God. That don't happen. But they are important things. And they symbolize important things. And they teach us important things. And they help us get and keep our hearts aright. And so, you say, well, you Baptists, you know, no, that's important to you. No, it's very important to us. But we don't look at some magical, mystical thing that some man can control and throw a little water in your face and makes you a child of God. You're born again now. Nothing like that in the Bible. So we're going to touch on these. We're going to touch on some other things. And at least I'll get the beginning of it, the overview. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. Between here and High Springs, where Heidi lives, there used to be, I'm not sure if they may have even changed the name of it, but there used to be a church out there that was called Corinth Baptist Church. Well, there's nothing wrong about that. The Corinthians were no worse than we are, but as you look at it in Scripture, they messed up a whole bunch. They had a lot of problems. And Paul had to address them about a lot of problems. And I think generally, I've only seen very few Corinth Baptist Church. Berea Baptist Church, you know, they were first, because they searched the Scriptures. Or Antioch, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Corinth, a little bit more problems. And I don't think I've seen any churches named Laodicea Baptist Church, if you know the book of Revelation. But there's some churches that should be named that, but that's a whole other story. Corinth had their issues, their problems. By the grace of God, Paul had to address them. They teach us things. You know, when God inspired Paul to write what he did to the church at Corinth, Paul didn't know that he was writing to us too. You know? But he was. By the grace of God, he prepared him, prepared those things. The Word of God was communicated through Paul. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11. Paul deals with a couple issues here, and we've looked at some in the past, and today we're probably, in the coming couple weeks maybe, we're going to look primarily at the issue of the woman's head covering. But Paul also deals with disorders there that had to do with the Lord's Supper and what they were doing in relation to the Lord's Supper. And we've looked at that and spoken about that in the past. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And I wish we could all say that all the time, too. You know, Paul said, follow my example. Well, sometimes it's like, yeah, not so much. Spiritually, it should be that way. And it's not like we, parents sometimes want to tell kids, don't do as I do as I say. Well, they can't hear you when you talk that way. Don't do the things I do, but do what I tell you to do. And they say, but you do this. That doesn't matter. Do what I say. Well, it's hard to communicate that way. It's hard to get people to listen. Paul says, be followers of me, even as I also am in Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Paul says, you remember me, you lift me up, you keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. And yet, as we get on here, it's almost, Paul, you wonder, Paul wasn't beyond, under the inspiration of the Spirit, using a little bit of sarcasm. Or perhaps, you know, setting them up to be chastised as they had to be. He says, you keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But then we go on to see that, you know, they didn't completely do that. But he was thankful for what they did do. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if a woman be not covered, let her be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now, for many years, let me pause here just to set it in context. I always held, because it was an interpretation that ultimately, I guess, was a convenience. I didn't think of it that way at the time. But I always held that the covering here was her hair, right? But obviously, Paul's talking about two different things. He's talking about her hair and an external covering. You know, he said, if she's not going to be covered, then let her bob her hair. Well, see, Paul says that's not what you ought to be doing. But her hair is given her for a covering. But if she's not going to submit to the head covering, she might as well just cut her hair or even shave her head. Now, Paul's not saying you should do that. But these people that would argue that, and I used to always say, well, it's all talking about the woman's hair. But if you read it careful, if you read what Paul says here and how he makes these distinctions, he even uses different words. And Paul does not spend, you know, a multitude of verses here telling a woman that she should wear her hair to church. But really, that argument is kind of ends up being there. And I've got many brethren that don't practice head covering, churches don't, and that's their business, that's fine. You know, and if we went to that church, my wife would still cover, but if we didn't believe in covering and we went to a church where they covered, she might well do cover. I mean, but we're not there anymore. We used to be there. Every man praying or prophesying his head covered dishonoreth his head. Man ought not wear a hat in church. And we've gotten away from a lot of things like that. And I try to remember sometimes I don't even like if I'm out in a restaurant or something. Sometimes I take my hat off. Nowadays people don't even think about it, but I probably should. The only reason I don't anymore if I've got my hat with me, if I take my hat off in the restaurant, you know where it's going to be when I leave? On that chair next to it. Then I'll have to go back and get it or try to find it again. But anyway, so when you come in a house, indoors, you didn't cover. You didn't wear a hat indoors. You know, in the Marine Corps, if you went to the officers' club, which we did stuff there, that, you know. But anyway, you go to the officers' club, and if you put your cover on, or if you came in with your hat on, or if you put your cover on before you left, you had to buy everybody in the place a drink, you know, because we took it serious. I don't know, whatever. There's time for covering and a time for not covering. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she had been shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but I'm going to tell you one other little story. You know, even one thing that kind of troubled me, some of these folks that were so adamant about head covering, the women had like bobbed haircuts. And if you read this chapter, Paul says she's supposed to have long hair. And she's supposed to have a covering. And I've seen, you know, some of these churches so strong on having a covering, there'd be a woman up here playing the piano, her hair, not a whole lot longer than mine, but she's got a covering on. Well, that's kind of missing the point. If you understand, things happen, people get cancer and those sort of things. That's not what this passage is about, you understand? It's kind of like when my wife, if she forgets to put her covering on, I'm not holding that against her. I know she's... And if you get cancer and your hair falls out or whatever, the Lord knows those things. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head inasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but I'm going to plant some seeds and we'll look at it in detail, okay? Paul argues here from the order of creation. See, a lot of people, this passage, you'll say, it doesn't matter at all. This is just all cultural. Paul was just writing to their culture and, you know, what people did in that. Paul says, the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. That goes back to creation. Paul's not arguing what the culture was at Corinth or in the Greek world. Paul's saying back to creation. Because the woman came from the man. The man did not come from the woman. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You know, Adam didn't have a helpmeet. And God said, I'll make you a helpmeet. It wasn't the other way around. People say, well, I don't like that. That's not fair. Well, if we all got fair, we'd all be burning in hell, for one thing. God always does the right thing. God always does the fair thing. God, this whole thing, the world we live in, and I've been having some online discussions with a fellow that I finally broke off. I just got tired of it. But it's like equality and equity, you know. Long as everybody's equal. Nobody's equal. We're all different. God had designed us that way. You know, if you're free, you're not equal. And the only way you're equal is if somebody else imposes that on you, and you're not free anymore. We ought to treat everybody right. Everybody ought to stand before the law as equal before the law, but elsewhere, no one can make everybody equal. The only one who could have done that was God, and he didn't. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. The woman ought to have power, ought to have exousia. Who decides that? The woman. The woman ought to have power. The woman ought to have it. She's the one that puts the covering on and takes it off. She does that as her own heart act of submission. And whether she understands it all or whether it's in a context that she's submitting to the understandings of another church, but she does that in the context of submission. And if she does that with a stinking attitude and in rebellion, well, she might as well shave her head off. Shave her hair off. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. You know, the angels had a problem with submitting to authority, some of them. There was a great fall. And the archangel rebelled against God and said, I'm going to be equal. Hey, fear, I'm going to be equal to God. And he led a whole third of the angels with him, the fallen angels, which are demons now. So the angels had issues with authority too. And the woman, when she covers, she's teaching the angels. She's be an example to the angels. And the holy angels appreciate that. They understand that. I'm preaching my whole sermon here just reading the beginning, but we'll continue on next week. Neither is the man created for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. See, it's not a matter of saying, everybody's equal, we're better, we don't need you. You do. We live in a world today, a lot of women get to the point, we don't need men. Yeah, well, you kind of do. And I suppose, who knows what all these perverts in science are going to be doing, but you're still going to need men. And it's all of God. And if you read creation, Scripture tells us, and I've got the verse a little further on, which not to yet, but in creation, God created the man, and he created the woman. What does the Scripture say? And he called their name Adam. Man is not complete except in the man and in the woman. God created the man, he created the woman, he called their name Adam. Yeah, the man had that given name, and there was Eve, but he called their name Adam, mankind. People get so bent out about that, too. You talk about people used to understand that. People used to be a whole lot smarter before. You talk about, well, man, you know, man conquered the seas. Well, what about women? That man means mankind. Why do I have to explain that to you? But these people get so huffy about that stuff. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. They're both needful. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you? Okay, now he's talking about the external covering, and now he talks specifically about her hair. I mean, he's mentioned it before, but he's specifically her hair. Does not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's the same unto him? So, well, that's culture. That's not what Paul taught. And Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Does not even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? And I'm not going to preach on that one. Not today. But there is this point, again. You say, well, then, is my hair too long? If you have to ask the question, it probably is. I'm just going to say. But I'm not the judge of that. You, between you and God, can decide those things. The main point is the distinction of the sexes. They ought to look different. Ought not look and say, I wonder if that's a boy or a girl. And more so today. And hair is a big part of that, but other things as well. You know, that's not what's intended. That you have to look and contemplate and scratch your head. And it's getting worse, isn't it? Just getting worse. But does not even nature, again, God, Paul argues from creation, he argues from nature. He's not arguing from Greek culture. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? People always want to come up, you know. But, What about Samson? And what about the Nazarene? That was a special vow from God. And there wasn't even a point of that. They were supposedly, and Samson didn't do a good job of doing it, but they were submitting to God. They're submitting themselves even to a certain amount of shame. So that's not a good excuse to say, well, then the biggest one is, is not nature itself teach you? I'm preaching about four or five sermons today. I'm going to go back and preach them all again before we're done. But does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? And then people will say, well, but Jesus had long hair. Please show me where you get that from. You can't get that from the Scriptures. The Lord would have obeyed the revealed will of God. He knew what God's will was. No, the Lord didn't. They say, yeah, but the pictures. Oh, yeah. These limp-wristed artists, you know, from the period of the Renaissance and all, they painted Jesus with long hair because they were long-haired freaks. Does that mean Jesus had long hair? No. I really don't like any pictures that, you know, depict the Lord, but, you know, occasionally maybe a cross, but especially if it's got long hair, that ain't going to happen. Doth not even nature itself teach you if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him? And yet people will try to explain the way Jesus had long hair. Well, you show me where you get that from. Well, there's a picture of the Lord's Supper. Yeah. Show me where you get that from. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. Now, Paul's been speaking of a covering before. We're going to look at this in more detail. Before, when he used the word covering, up until this point, he was using a different Greek word. Speaking of an artificial covering. Here he speaks of a covering, that which flows about. He's speaking of her hair. He uses even different, under the inspiration of the Spirit. God uses different words. For her hair is given her for a covering. She has that long hair as a covering when she's outside the assembly, when she's with her family, when she's going about her daily tasks. It is itself to be a symbol of submission. A symbol to submission. Not, yes, to her husband, but primarily her submission to God. And his order. And again, women, well, is my hair long enough? If you have to ask me, you know, you ask the Lord that. There needs to be a distinction. There should be a distinction between the way men look and the way women look. The Bible's abundantly clear about that from the beginning. Back in Deuteronomy, God said, a woman ought not wear that which pertaineth unto the man. We've let the guard down on those things, and we thought, well, that's not important. And where do we end up? With all this transsexual garbage. That's where we've ended up. It's because we let down our guard on some little thing. Thanks to think about. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. And then I even had some folks say, well, it doesn't say she has to have long hair. It says if she has long hair, it's a glory to her. It's like, what? You don't want to be a glory to God, or you don't want to exemplify glory? It's like, well, it's okay if she doesn't have long hair. She just doesn't have the glory. What is the... How do people think? I don't... But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And then people try to argue here at verse 16. I'm going to tell you what this verse means if you look at it in context. Paul says, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. They say, well, see, in verse 16, Paul says, it really doesn't matter anyway. I mean, he's argued for 15 verses. He gets to the end and he says, it doesn't matter. That's not what that verse means. He said, we don't have the custom of being contentious about head covering in the Lord's churches. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. We don't We don't argue against what God's ordained. We don't argue against the covering. Neither the churches of God. Well, I read the passage that introduces my sermon. I got through page one, and I've got like 10 pages. But it'll go quicker because I preached half of it this morning. But I wanted to touch on those things. God reveals things to us. We all tend from time to time to be rebellious, like I say. I didn't always believe that. We were at a meeting, even a meeting. I don't know if at that time I preached there or not, but I preached at this preacher's meeting several times. And then they, I don't know, they must have got together. Several of them got on a kick, and two or three talking about a woman's covering. Well, I'd always maintain it was just her hair. And it kind of disturbed me. And it wasn't until I got home and did a little more thinking, a little more studying, that I said, you know what? They're right. And I looked at the example. Not so much of the fellow that was beating me over the head from the pulpit. Not that there's not a place for that. But of the women there in the assembly who, you know, were submissively covering their hair. And got me to thinking, got me to studying, and that's always a good thing. Okay, well, I preached longer than I expected. I got not near as far as I thought I would, but I covered a whole lot more than I thought I would. So there you go. And I'm not on a schedule anymore. And if anybody, I guess maybe y'all don't appreciate that, not sad, well then, just fire me. If I'm not, don't get me off on that. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn. Number 172. I know this hymn, but not maybe all that well, but I think it's to another tune. And again, I went through all the hymns, but then the wrong ones. And all my Lord's appointed ways. How appropriate this is. And all my Lord's appointed ways. And I'm pretty sure this is a familiar song tune to us, but I don't remember now because I looked at the wrong ones.
In all my Lord's appointed ways, my journey I'll pursue. In turning not me much from saints, for I must go with you. Through floods and flames, if Jesus lead, I'll follow where he goes. And there not shall be my cry, though earth and hell oppose. Through duty and through trials too, I'll go.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the privilege to gather. Oh, we thank you for your preserved word, for the inspiration of your scriptures. That we're not left to our own devices, but you've revealed unto us. Lord, help us to understand. Lord, give us the heart attitude of obedience. Father, help us in all of our lives and ways to reflect glory unto thee. Lord, help us to show unto others who we belong to. Father, I thank Thank you for each one that's here. I pray you go with them in the coming week. In particular, Lord, we pray your hand upon the Tensei's as they'll be making the traveling halfway around the world. To keep them safe. To keep your hand upon them as they travel and as they fellowship with family and friends, that you encourage them, that you strengthen them, that you bring them back safely. Father, we pray for those who need healing, for those who need comfort. Lord, we all need your guidance. We all need understanding. Father, we thank you that you loved your people with an everlasting love. We thank you, Lord, that our Savior made a complete atonement, that he fully purchased all of his people, and that all will be drawn unto him. Thank you again for your love, for your sovereignty, for our Savior, and we pray in his name. Amen.